Hello?
Hello.
Hello? It's Michael.
Yes, Michael. Okay, Michael.
Sorry
Probably
about.
the reception is bad. I'm driving out of the parking lot.
Okay.
So probably as soon as I leave, probably the reception will be better.
Okay.
Did you get the term Sharia?
Yeah. And
Okay.
what does it cover?
Sharia, it is a comprehensive set of laws of the Quran
Yeah.
and the sayings of the Prophet and the consensus of a certain category of scholars.
Yeah.
And the deduction of certain mujtahids, that is, a higher rank of jurists
Okay.
in Islamic law.
Okay. And so where does its basis in Islam come from? The Quran?
Which the term?
No, well, the concept of it, is it set out in the Quran?
But it is, yes, it is in the Quran and it is in the sayings of the Prophet. These are the two primary sources.
Is there a specific section or is it throughout?
It is in separate sections. It is explicit in multiple verses of Al Quran
Okay.
throughout the Quran. Yeah.
Okay. And what are your personal feelings on it? Should it be applied? Should countries apply it in their national laws, or should it be separated from the laws of nations?
In Islamic law, Michael,
Yeah?
the nature of the laws itself does not allow the separation,
Okay.
because, for instance, it's part of the Islamic law, certain matters that pertain to the judicial system, for instance.
Okay.
And there is a comprehensive set of laws that apply, and so it's part of the religion to implement certain judicial matters. Likewise, certain things pertaining to contracts and
Yeah.
trading, and another thing that has to do with the political system, a third set of rules that have to do with warfare and with truces and with peace agreements. And so
Yeah.
really there are a whole set of laws that you cannot separate. You cannot say that let's separate religion from the state, because
Okay.
even if you do that and you want to run the state and you want to call it an Islamic state, then you have to abide by those
Okay.
specific rules that are set.
Yeah. How does it work then in states where Muslims are a minority, like the United States or Great Britain, where they're a minority and the laws of the country do not mirror Sharia law?
Also, that is specified in the religion. Look, for instance, at the Muslims who live in the United States of America.
Yeah.
They very much practice their religion in the way you describe it,
Yeah.
as separation between religion and state. And so when it comes to the application of the laws, like this is a non-Muslim country, they apply
Yeah.
certain rules. Some of it pertain to, I don't know, Christianity. Some does not pertain. Simply,
Yeah.
it's a man-made law. Now, the Muslim, how does he behave? For instance, the law allows alcohol to be sold,
Yeah.
and people, they serve alcohol in restaurants. If he goes to a restaurant and he wants to eat, he's not sinful for that, because he's not going there to drink alcohol. He does not buy alcohol.
Yeah.
He does not sell alcohol, but still he can go to the supermarket and he would pick his stuff, although the supermarket does sell alcohol.
Yeah.
He can buy the newspapers to read news when the newspapers have other segments that present material, controversial to the Islamic thought.
Yeah.
A person can go and work in a work atmosphere where there would be Christians, Jews, atheists, different cultures of people.
Okay.
And still you will be able to mix, to have friends, to work together towards the benefit of the company and what have you. But still he would maintain his own identity as an individual.
Okay.
And he would experience his religion like, if he wants to talk to people about his religion, it's like any other person who would want to promote, let's say, gay marriage, for instance.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is how, the boundaries or the parameters of practicing his own religion as a minority in a certain country.
But what about, doesn't Sharia set out, punishments for certain crimes such as adultery and theft? And how are those laws enforced in non-Muslim majority nations?
In Muslim majority nations, today, Michael, you will find very, very few countries who actually apply the Islamic properly. In many cases, they do not. For instance, there has been a case recently in Kenya regarding two women who were sentenced to pelting till death because of adultery.
Yeah.
And the civil community, they raised their voices in complaint.
Yeah.
And they dug into that matter. And do you know what the Islamic courts judged? They looked into the case and they found that according to the Islamic law, they could not have convicted these two women with adultery because the elements of the case insufficient evidence.
Yeah.
And so really, there is a lot of room when the religion or the laws of the religion, are properly implemented, a lot of headache can be saved. In certain areas, I'm sure somebody has actually put up the agenda, a discussion on the table of what is called the dialogue of civilization, to discuss issues like the issues that you are raising.
Yeah.
Like the Islamic law, they enforce a certain punishment, whereas the modern society nowadays, they see that this kind of punishment conflicting with the civil rights of people. And so this is an issue really that has to be debated and brought up to a level of conclusion so that some sort of a regulation and an agreement would be arrived at and be implemented accordingly.
Yeah.
Now, with the absence of the communication and the dialogue, you'll always have this crash of ideas.
And what are your personal views? Do you think that it does violate human rights currently, or do you think that because the Prophet Muhammad said it, then it is just and it should still continue these punishments?
I'm convinced, Michael, that the religion of Islam provide a high level of justice to all. Now,
okay.
This statement, for instance, is a major topic between someone like myself and someone like Michael Ignatieff, who
yeah.
is the head of the Department of Civil Rights at the Kennedy School of Government.
Yeah.
Debate these issues. To him, he needs to identify certain concepts as being internationally agreed upon, as
yeah.
being a civil, a human rights violation. And on the other hand, to state, understand the underlying grounds for a certain punishment within the Islamic law and to
yeah.
reflect on that. This kind of discussion is very important to bring the minds together to be able to answer such a question. Are you pro or against?
Yeah.
Do you consider this a violation or not? Really, there isn't enough material put on the table for someone like Michael Ignatieff to even make a statement on this issue.
Okay.
This is a hot topic that needs research. This is one of the aspects that people like yourself and like myself
yeah.
need to advocate, to say, hey, let's call for dialogue of civilizations. Let's
yeah.
put out certain points on the table. Let's be open-minded. There are
yeah.
points of difference between Islam and other faiths, but there
yeah.
are a lot of common ground. Let's sort out the issues. Let's
okay.
discuss them. Let's see how we can regulate them. This is the avenue to go.
Okay. Now, I was looking at the Taliban, and the Taliban in Afghanistan from, I guess it was like 96 to 2001, claimed
yeah.
that they implemented Sharia law, but my English teacher, Ms. Nachef, she totally thinks that they misinterpreted it. Do you think the same thing, that the Taliban misinterpreted Sharia law?
Absolutely, and in a horrific way. Mere ignorance, and it's people like ourselves, Michael,
yeah.
who have for centuries, this is not after September 11th, it's for centuries, within,
yeah.
within the Islamic schools of thought, for 1400 years, the moderate Muslims, the Muslim thinkers,
yeah.
have always battled with the dogma of extremism, which,
okay.
is represented by the Taliban and their likes.
Yeah.
Such dogma has its grassroots since 1400 years ago, and merely it is based on and nourishes on ignorance of the religion. A group of people interpret the verses of Al-Quran and the sayings of the Prophet
yeah.
According to their own whims, and they try to enforce them, and thereby they ignore a total vision of the religion, and therefore they become extremists in nature.
Yeah.
Such people, they have to be unmasked. They have to be unmasked
yeah.
through spreading the correct knowledge of Islam. This is
okay.
the function. This is the function of the moderate Muslim. People
okay.
like myself. And
yeah.
many organizations around the world, they stand up and they critique the Wahhabi
yeah.
movement. They critique the Taliban regime. They critique the Saudi regime. They critique
yeah.
Many regimes who claim to be Muslims,
yeah.
but they have so much ignorance about the religion, and they have perverted the laws in a way that
okay.
They justify simply crimes conducted
yeah.
in the name of the religion.
Okay. Let me just write this down. Do you think that in the United States there are any religiously motivated laws?
Any what?
In the United States of America, do you think that there are any religiously motivated laws put out by the Senate and the House?
Any what laws?
Religiously motivated, like the people in power were, maybe are Christians, and therefore they try and put out.
That's yeah, they are operating out of their own religious agenda. Yes, I'm very much convinced of that. I'm convinced on that, not based on the September 11, but rather on a more in-depth study of other Christian movements around the world and around the Middle East that look at the Bush administration and some of the presidents of the U.S. as being religiously motivated in the way they view the politics of the Middle East. For instance, many of them, they see that supporting the state of Israel is a prerequisite for the reappearance of Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is an ideological point on the agenda to keep supporting that state for the achievement of that purpose. Now, interestingly, Michael, the Muslims themselves, it is part of their belief that they are awaiting for the appearance of Jesus. Except, of course, as you know, the Muslims, they regard Jesus as a prophet and not as the son of God. But still, the Muslims, they believe that Jesus is going to reappear and he is going to rule according to the proper rules of the religion, and that peace will prevail. However, the Muslims, of course, they disagree with Bush and that administration on that supporting the state of Israel is a prerequisite for the appearance of Jesus. Now, apparently, when you look at the close group around within the Bush administration, at least, it's found there are many common denominators. Economical, most of them they are in the oil industry. Most of them they have made their wealth. Most of them they have stakes in the Iraqi wealth, in the game of oil in general. And most of them also they share the same Christian background in concept. And it seems the way Bush presents the case of that he calls the war on terror, he always he makes the mistake of putting a certain content that is perceived by Muslims at large. And when I say Muslims by at large, I mean the 1.3 billion Muslims around the world, that whoever says such a content, then he means that he is launching a war against Islam. Although Bush, he would stand out and he would say, you know, listen, this is not a war against Islam, but he says, for instance, this is a war against the caliphate system. All the Muslims around the world, if you ask them about the caliphate system, they take pride in the role of the caliphs. Although nowadays, they would not probably, there are no caliphs. But if you ask any Muslim about any one of the rightly guided caliphs, they hold them, you know, very highly as being just rulers who have built the civilization, who have built the economy, who took care of the poor and the needy, who were merciful to the enemies. And so when you look at the caliphate, you look at a glory, a certain glory, an era of glory. And here Bush, he stands up and he mimics the caliphate and he projects it as being an unjust system. And so the Muslims, they take this, they say to themselves, what's the matter with this man? Why is he mimicking our religion? And yet he says this is not a war against Islam. And this is only an example, Michael. There are many, many other incidents where, his words belie the content of his speech.
All right, let me see my notes. I think that's it. I didn't catch your name. Could you say it again, please?
Yeah, my name is Riyad, R-I-A-D, as in David.
Yeah.
And my middle name is Muhammad, M-O-H-A-M-M-A-D.
Yeah.
And my family name is Nashef, N-A-S-H-E-F.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I think that's it.
All right. And if you have any further questions, don't hesitate to call me, Mike.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for taking your time to talk to me today.
You are most welcome, friend.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye.